सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
इंशांत चैप्टर 4 वर्सेस 1-5।
श्री भगवान उवाच श्री भगवान उवाच इमं विवस्वते योगम् इमं विवस्वते योगम् प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययम् प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययम् विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह मनुवीक्ष्वाकवेभ्रवीत् श्री भगवानुवाच इमं विवस्वते योगम् प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययम् विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह मनुवीक्ष्वाकवेभ्रवीत् एवं परम्परा प्राप्तम् इमं राजस्य यो विदुः सकाले नेह महतः योगो नष्टः परन्तप एवं परम्परा प्राप्तम् इमं राजस्य यो विदुः सकाले नेह महतः योगो नष्टः परन्तप सैभायं मया तेद्य योगप्रोक्तः पुरातनः भक्तोऽसि मे सकाचेति रहस्यं केतदुत्तमम् सैवायं मया तेद्य योगप्रोक्तः पुरातनः भक्तोऽसि मे सकाचेति रहस्यं केतदुत्तमम्। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। श्रीभगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेतः परन्तप। श्रीभगवानुवाच बहूनि मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तव चार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि न त्वं वेतः परन्तप।
We will begin the fourth chapter of the Gita entitled as Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga, Yoga of Renunciation of Action in Wisdom, meaning inner renunciation through wisdom. This chapter has 42 verses. As I said before, what Krishna had to say, he had already said in the second chapter and the third chapter. He is elaborating it further till 17th chapter. Then again in the 18th chapter, there is a summary. Right? First, condensed message, then elaboration, then again condensed message. This is what the entire Gita is. So in the second chapter, if you see, he talked about jnanam, little bit about karma also, Then the third chapter he elaborated on karma, karma yoga. Now in the fourth and fifth chapter, there is an emphasis on jnana. And then in the sixth chapter, he talks about dhyana yoga, meditation, etc. So, in this chapter, which is called as jnana karma sannyasa yoga, as a result of your performance of karma yoga, your mind gets purified and gains jnana, wisdom streams forth, and you become mentally free from all the preoccupations. This is what he is talking about here. So, this 42 verses is talking about yoga of action culminating in wisdom. With this, let's chant verse number 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Proktavanaham Avyayam, Proktavanaham Avyayam, Vivasvamanave Praha, Vivasvamanave Praha, Manuvishvaka Vedhave, Manuvishvaka Vedhave, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Proktavanaham Avyayam, Vivasvamanave Praha, Manuvishvaka Vedhave. The Blessed Lord said, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha means the Blessed Lord said, I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivasvan. Vivasvan taught it to Manu, Manu taught it to Ikshvaku. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Abhyayam. This Abhyayam Yoga. Abhyayam Yoga means imperishable yoga. This knowledge, this teaching, meaning second and third chapter name, whatever I have said. This knowledge, which is called as Shruti. Shruti means revealed knowledge. In the deep meditative states of the rishis, the truth reveals itself to them. It is not a remembered knowledge. It is not an act of somebody's will. When the ego totally dissolves, the truth reveals itself. And then it is called yoga. The ego has totally merged in the total. Total speaks through them. That is called revelation. So, I declare this yoga to Vivasvan. So, we say that this imperishable knowledge, this knowledge with ego dissolves in the total, that he refers as imperishable. Remember this example that we have discussed time and again. Waves are perishable. Perishable. Ocean is imperishable. Right? Many waves emerge and they perish. But ocean is never perishable. It is always imperishable. So when the wave merges with the ocean, or when the river merges with the ocean is speaking as it were, and it refers to that knowledge as imperishable yoga. Abhyayam yoga. It is not the teaching. Teaching would be perished. Somebody wrote a text, let us say. That text could be perishable. It could become extinct. But the truth that the text was trying to pass it on, that never perishes. Even those people who passed on the message perishes. But the message being the ultimate truth, that is imperishable. So he's talking about that knowledge, revealed knowledge, Atma Jnana, which is in Krishna. Not the text, right? That is not to be taken as impersonal. Words are visual, but the truth that the words try to communicate, whether they can communicate or not is a different matter, but that they try to communicate, that truth is impersonal. So it says, I declare, aham proktavan, I declare, what did I declare? Imam avyayam yoga, this imperishable yoga, to whom? Vivaswate, to Vivaswan. I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivaswan. Vivaswan refers to sun god. Vivaswan means, Vivas means annam, means energy. That which gives nourishment or energy is Vivas. Vivaswan means nourisher, energizer, that which provides energy, the primeval being, the original knowledge, Atma, Atma Jnanam, revealed through the self-realized master, passed on to the first primeval being, Vivaswa. That's what it means. So here the Lord Krishna says, Aham. He is not talking as Mr. Krishna. Please remember this. We who have identified only with waves, when we say I, the I there means wave. But when a Mahatma who has reached the depth, when he says I, he is like wave, understanding that it is essentially ocean, and speaking as ocean and not as waves. Real thing. So here Lord Krishna, even though refers to this word I, he is not meaning that he is speaking as wave, but he is speaking as ocean. So the ocean is your original nature. The totality is your original nature. Brahman is your original nature. You can identify with that and speak, or you can identify with the surface, body level and speak. So whenever a person like Krishna speaks, he always speaks from the total point of view, most of the time. Sometimes he also comes down to the level of Mr. Krishna and speaks to Arjuna here as his friend. But here when he is speaking of his highest truths, he is going down to that level and speaking. Like a father who also happens to be a doctor. A father speaks to the son as father sometimes, but when the son has fallen sick and the father is diagnosing what is not wrong with the son, then even though he is from one angle father, at the moment he is talking to his son as doctor to patient. So many times you will see this in the Gita. Sometimes casually Krishna refers to Arjuna as a friend. Sometimes he goes to the level of the Jagat Guru, that level of that ocean, that depth. From the Brahman point of view, he speaks as Brahman, our self-realized master. So here he is speaking as self-realized master. So what he is saying, I, meaning the self, declare this imperishable yoga knowledge to Vivaswan. And Vivaswan taught it to his son Manu. Manu taught it to his son Ikshwaku. Basically what he is trying to say here is, this is not my original idea. In fact, what we need to understand is, original meaning in the context, what we need to understand is, original means something that concerns with origin. It is not somebody's original thinking that can reveal the truth.
In fact, when the ego dissolves, only the truth reveals. When you say originally he is sitting and thinking, means his ego is very much alive. When the ego is very much alive, the truth doesn't get revealed.
Are you with me? What reveals is your work, not the truth. Please remember this. So here what Krishna is saying is, this is not something that I am saying from the egoistic level. This is something that is the truth that belongs to everybody, which was there before also, now also should continue to be there later also. So that original truth is being declared. The third verse of this chapter will say, I am declared that to you today. So basically what this verse is saying is, this has been flowing from time immemorial. This has been flowing from time immemorial. Like Ganges originates in Garbhagriha, but it flows through various villages before it reaches the ocean. Right? By the time you jump into the Ganges in one particular village and you come out and talk about it, that portion of water has moved away. You understand? That portion of water has moved away. So, this is constant flow. You can't call it old, you can't call it new. Because when you say old, means it was there. It's not there now. But here it is eternal. It is always there, constantly flowing. It is neither new nor old. It is Sanatana Brahma. Right? Anybody who goes into themselves and reaches to that point can reveal this knowledge to others. But how much the others will understand depends upon their own unfoldment. In fact, the guru really has to be somebody who has got the knowledge in him through revelation. The Sishya need not be and will not be. But when the Sishya also in turn becomes a guru, he should be somebody who's got the knowledge revealed to him also through the destruction of his own ego. Otherwise, whatever he says is only a hearsay. There are many hearsays. Very rarely there is a person who is speaking from his own experience. So he says, I declared, means some Mahatma, whosoever declares at any point in time, identifies with that I, which is devotion. Right? In different form maybe at that point in time. Declare the knowledge to Prabhaswami, the primary being, and then the knowledge was handed down in succession. A parampara. Here parampara could mean two, three different things. For example, generally we understand parampara means father giving to son and son giving to his son, or guru giving to sishya and sishya giving to his sishya, like that. Parampara basically means guru sishya parampara, in the sense a guru who has got this knowledge revealed through his own inner experience declared it. Another person, wherever it might be, who also realized the self, could have revealed this knowledge there. Like that, this parampara of declaring the truth, whosoever realized it, has been going on. Right? But generally we take it as guru declared it to the sishya. Now, sishya, immaterial of whether he realized the truth, just repeats the words of the guru. This is not the real parampara. What do you mean? This is what are you doing? The person in the beginning, through his own realization, declares it. Somebody else takes it and then goes on repeating it. A different country will do that. Are you with me? So here obviously, even though you could take that meaning, the real purpose of the word parampara here Lord Krishna is trying to use is seems to be this, that is, wherever a self-realized Mahatma declared the truth and he moved, then another Mahatma came and he declared the truth. Thus, this declaring of the truth continues. But any person anywhere, being anywhere, he declares the truth. To whom he declares may be different, the time he declares may be different, the language he uses to declare may be different, right? The methodology of all these things may be different, but the truth is not different. This is the problem. Lot of us think that Prophet Muhammad said something different, Jesus Christ said something different, Buddha said something different, Krishna said something different, Mahavira said something different, nothing like that. They all said the same truth, but they were speaking to different set of people at different times using different languages. But when you look at it from outside, without your own personal experience, you think they have all declared different truths. But when you will go inside and realize yourself, you realize that they were all talking about the same ocean only, same truth only, same totality only, same Brahman only. Language has been different, obviously, because the people were different. Whenever you communicate, you need to take the receivers also into account. You can't just communicate what you know, you have to communicate what you know according to the receiver's capabilities. Really? Otherwise, what you say will go in effect. But the problem with the receivers is what? Usually when we receive, in English what they call is selective listening. We bring in our mind and listen not the truth as it is, but the truth as we believe it to be. Then we give it to somebody else. Then that fellow dilutes it further. Are you with me? This is the problem. Like they play that game also. I don't know what that is.
Chinese whisper.
Right? You communicate something. That fellow will negate something else, finally when it comes back to you,
yes, totally, it's
totally different. So therefore, those who receive, the emphasis is not in giving it back to somebody else, the emphasis is having received. Now you do tapasya and you realize the self, but the hurry and worry is there in us to pass it on. Right? Truth doesn't require you or me to pass it on. Swami Ramakrishna beautifully explains this. He says, we are dependent on the truth. Truth is not dependent on us. If Swami Ramakrishna is not there, somebody else will be there. He says that. I'm not saying that. So truth can reveal through any source. But when we receive the knowledge from our Guru, our job is to do what? Use that knowledge and go within us and reveal that knowledge within us to ourselves, and then from us the knowledge can be properly communicated. Otherwise we will be selectively hearing with no adequate experience substantiating it. We would be communicating what we believe as truth, not what truth is. The interesting thing is, the way we speak may be more appealing to the masses, we may become more famous than the real Guru. This is possible. In fact, when a master is speaking, he is speaking from the depth. We are remaining as waves, he is speaking as ocean. So we don't understand anything. So we think he is probably a rebel or somebody killed a rebel. This is what happened to many masters. Either we totally misunderstand and neglect the knowledge, or we take that knowledge the way we have understood it and miscommunicate it. This is a big danger in knowledge. So this particular knowledge that we are talking about, what we call as Brahma Vidya or Atma Vidya, which he calls as Avyayam Yoga. Yoga meaning union of the ego with the self, with the totality. When the ego is dissolved, when the river is dissolved in the ocean, and then when the ocean speaks, that state is called as yoga state, and that is imperishable. River is perishable. The rain is not, that river is gone. But ocean is always there. In fact, any source of water is actually part of ocean only. Nothing else other than ocean. So therefore, all these things are indirectly said in these verses for us to understand. So he says, this knowledge was revealed in a sage, and that sage revealed it to another person through words, and the other person revealed it to another person, another person. Thus, it's been flowing continuously. It is important that we need to study this knowledge, imbibe this knowledge, make it our own. When I say study, I don't mean just studying the words. Water could have got stuck in the mud of words. Water, the truth, could have got stuck in the mud of words. What we need to do is dig the mud and take the water out. What do you mean? This is the value we give to this tradition. If you really give value to your guru's words, don't get lost in the guru's words. In fact, truth is not something that can be verbalized. How can wave talk about ocean? Wave means limit. Ocean means limitless. How can the limit talk about limitless? So even if any way that has dissolved itself in the ocean wants to talk to the other waves, which has not dissolved yet, about the ocean, it has to talk through the limited equipment only. Therefore, even in the Mahatma's words, truth cannot be totally revealed. Please understand this. This is very important to understand. Truth cannot be totally revealed even in the Mahatma's words, because truth has got filtered through his body, mind and intellect, which is finite. Finite equipments do not have full capacity to reveal the truth totally. This is the biggest challenge. It is not as though that Mahatma has not realized. So there are two, three different problems. One problem is, like I said, whatever the Mahatma is revealing, he is revealing from his own experience. It is not a second-hand information. For you and me, it is a second-hand information. But for the Mahatma, it is not a second-hand information. He is informing you from his own subjective experience. But you understand, but like I said, you will be hearing selectively, listening to it selectively. You bring in your mind and intellect, your experiences, and listen to it selectively. And then you may not be insincere, you may not be hypocritical, but you will be communicating what you understood, not really the truth. This is one problem. Other major problem is, even the Mahatma who's experienced it, the moment he tries to verbalize it, he is lost.
That is why in the 9th chapter he is going to call this knowledge as royal knowledge, royal secret. Means this remains a secret forever, it cannot be revealed. You have to reveal it to yourself by dissolving your ego. Even if you have personal experience, communicating it to a person who hasn't got the experience becomes an impossible task. And if somebody has got experience, then there is no need to communicate. Sounds funny, isn't it? Somebody who's got experience finds it difficult to communicate to the other person who hasn't got the experience. If the other person has got the experience, there is no need to
communicate.
Still, out of compassion, masters have tried their best to put forth their experiences in words. So what we need to do, if we are really sincere, we should not get lost in the words. We need to dig deep into the words. Because even though the words are not the truth, the words are about the truth. Believe me. Therefore you can dig it and find the truth. And when you dig it and find the truth and then reveal, then you are actually continuing the parampara. Lot of us are interested in mechanically continuing the parampara. That is not the parampara that is actually talking about. So I declare this imperishable yoga to Vivaswan, Vivaswan declared it to Manu, Manu declared it to Ikshvaku. So therefore, what should I do? I also should declare this knowledge to my son. But what am I declaring? Without really going to the depths of the scriptures, I am just mechanically chanting the verses and making them also memorize. So thus, what am I doing? Memorizing Gita and passing down the verses. You also memorize. What do you do? You also memorize. You also memorize. Oh, he knows the Gita backwards and forwards. Even Krishna might lose with you. Because Krishna probably don't remember those words. He will talk about the same thing, but maybe not in the same verses fashion. He may put it in a different fashion. Then you say, no, you are not the same Krishna, you are somebody else. You are cheating us. See, please understand this. If I have understood a subject, I don't have to worry about putting it in the same words. This part was explained in that movie also, the three idiots also. A guy has understood what a vision is. So the teacher is asking, professor is asking, define vision. He puts it in his own words. Next time if you ask, different words he'll use. It's not the exact same set of words. But what we will do is, oh, this fellow doesn't know what a vision is. The other fellow who exactly vomits, as mentioned in the book, will say he is the original learner. How others are doing
this? This happened with my daughter. She was taking an art class and couple of years ago, and the sir told her to make a butterfly. So she made a butterfly, but in her own way. She made, whatever. And the sir took the book and he got really angry with her. He said, this is a butterfly. Does this look like a butterfly? And he drew a butterfly. So my daughter came crying to me and she said, I will not do. Doesn't this look like a butterfly, Mama? This is a butterfly for me. So I said, yeah, this is a butterfly. It's fine. So she, and after that she said, I don't like the sir. I'm not going to do drawing with him. But it was so, thing to say that the sir got so angry because she made a butterfly in her own way, which looked like a butterfly but wasn't how it's shown in the books, like how you make a butterfly, whatever. So it's quite similar to.
See, we fail to go into the eyes of the child and see the butterfly there. We want the children to exactly repeat the same thing, what I call as butterfly. This is a big problem. Please understand, this is the biggest problem in today's education system.
That is why any master when he comes will appear to us as a rebel, because he is never going to toe the line like this. This is kind of conditioning, you know. This madness, repeating the same thing in the same way. Then you say, oh, he is my God, he is my person. He said something else. Oh, then he is a danger for us. Make sure he toes our line, otherwise eliminate the line. Otherwise he is a threat to us. This is what I said. Any master is not going to be repeating the same thing. Repeating the same thing means he doesn't know. A tape recorder will do the job. Right? So, these are the challenges that we have. The experience is so deep. The deeper experience is even emotion, for example, when it is so deep. You can't communicate it with words. That is why when a person who has deep emotions is usually silent. The other fellow who has surface emotion, he is beating his breast and crying and all that is happening. But he is not really feeling from the depth. Right? So when you genuinely feel from the depth, you almost become silent. So when words cannot even express the deeper emotions and feelings, consciousness, pure consciousness, which is even deeper than the feelings, can definitely not be expressed in words. Even if however sincere you are and try to express it, you will not be able to express it totally, and the others will not be able to catch it totally, because they are standing at the surface and trying to catch it. So what they caught was negligible portion. This is a big challenge. This is what he is talking here. This is the deeper message that he is trying to communicate here. Thus, handed down in succession. This knowledge was handed down in succession. Yes. We'll see what he says.
Very nice quote, Khalil Gibran's quote, which says, thought is a bird of space, which enclosed in the cage of birth, may indeed unfold its wings, but cannot fly. No. So you can't capture any sense in words.
Absolutely. So the essence cannot be captured in words. But there has been an attempt
to express it
for many generations in trying to express the essence through words.
And then it's up to your own experience.
Because of compassion, all these people who...
We can't do it without...
See, whenever you get something higher, and in that person who has reached that level has got high self-esteem. High self-esteem fellow will always want to share. A low self-esteem fellow would never want to share, because he will feel very insecure. So compassion is a natural outcome in a person who has gone deeper. Please understand this. Natural fragrance of a person who goes deeper and deeper into himself or herself is compassion. It's not that he programs, plans and things to reveal. He just makes sure that the other person is ready to receive or not. He will say a few things to see if the other person is ready. If the other person is not ready, he understands what's the point of me giving. But the moment he finds the other person is ready, he will try to give. How much ever I can help, I will help. How much help will finally turn out to be, we do not know. But better than me, I will stop the effort. There is no desire to stop the effort, there is no desire not to stop the effort. So the problem is, we all suffer from the low self-esteem, many of us. Therefore, what we do, if I say something, he will also know, then I will lose my USP. I lose my USP. Isn't it? This is low self-esteem. The USP of high self-esteem person itself is compassion, is sharing. So therefore, they have taken it, gone deep into it, realized the self and passed it on. Thus, this was passed on traditionally. Now you also should go deep into it. That is the message ultimately. The focus is not in somehow passing it on. Father, son. What are you passing on? It's like, I am giving you an envelope. இன்னும் read the letter. You not read that at all, simply mechanically passing it off. How you may be passing the address? The idea was not to pass the address. We, what do? We pass Krishna's photograph. Bhagavad Gita book. It's like passing the address, isn't it? A letter has been given to you, on top of it the address was written. Just passing on the address. The very person will say, what are you doing, man? Please delete this from address and all these things to address. Message is there, that is more important. Next verse. Evam parampara praptam, evam parampara praptam, imam rajarshayo viduhu, imam rajarshayo viduhu, sakaleneha mahata, sakaleneha mahata, yogo nashta parantapa, yogo nashta parantapa, evam parampara praptam, imam rajarshayo viduhu, sakaleneha mahata, yogo nashta. Thus handed down in succession, the king sages knew this yoga by long lapse of time has been lost here, O Parantapa. Whose cultural repose, O Arjuna, this has been destroyed due to long lapse of time. Thus handed down in succession. See, so many meanings are given to this. We have discussed this also a little bit just now. But a lot of people think it is like was consistently, successfully handed down, but in between people became more and more materialistic, thus this chain was lost. Chain was lost means not necessarily just the giving of the external thing. The chain is lost in the sense by the time another person comes and reveals the knowledge, lots of people have got lost in words. So many schools have come. There are different bhaktas of Krishna fighting amongst themselves only. There are so many varieties of Christians out there. Sects of Christianity. Isn't it? So many sects of Hinduism. So many sects of Buddhism, Jainism, Islam, everywhere, sects of God. So, in other words, the Master reveals the truth. And the same Bible, same Quran, same Gita, same Dhammapada, we quote, keep as faith and fighting. Upanishads, same Upanishads we keep at the base. Dvaitins, Advaitins, Vishishtadvaitins, fighting amongst themselves. This story somebody told me, I hope it is a true story, because they said it's a true story that happened. You know, in Vaishnavism, in Tamil Nadu, we have two sects called as Vadakalai and Tenkalai. You know, you would have seen Vaishnavites have a tilak vertically, right? Shaivites are horizontally, Vaishnavites are vertically. One is like U, there is a white colored tilak in a U shape, and then a red tilak in between straight, vertical. The same tilak, one set puts it with a part of a little bit on your nose, then it will look like little Y. So one is U, one is Y. Sect. That is not important, I am not going into deep into that, but I am just saying that two sects. So in a temple back home, there are mandirs where Shaivites, God, Shiva is also there, Vaishnavites, God, Vishnu is also there. So there were argument scenes. I think in that mandir, one set of Vaishnavites were there worshipping the Vishnu and the Shaivites worshipping Shiva. the same mandir, what do you call this? Elephant is there. You know, every mandir has an elephant. So which tilak to put on the forehead of the elephant was the argument fighting going on. They went to the court case, it seems. There is 6 months your symbol, 6 months this symbol. The same, see, what we may be laughing at this, but what we need to understand is, this is what he means by saying, during long lapse of time, this has been lost. This has been lost does not mean people have lost into materialism. The same spirituality, it has lost in words. What do you mean? Due to long lapse of time means very rarely you find a person who doesn't stick with just words. He says, no, this is fine. And these are all words, these are all words about the truth. I want to reveal the truth to myself. I want to experience it myself. And going deep inside is very rare. So the Upanishad says, Bhuteshu Bhuteshu Chitya Dhiraha Vetya Asmaloka Amrutamavanti. Very rarely a person again goes and reveals. That is why you won't find Buddha every next year being born, right? After so many years, some days. But interesting, nobody can bury the truth. Even when the truth is buried, it will reveal itself. You can try to bury the truth using so many words, but you can't really bury the truth. Right? So, Krishna came, Jesus came, Mahavat came, Buddha came, Mahavir came, and truth will be revealed every now and then to people who have gone to the depth of it and realized the self. So he says, so that is why we need to study these verses very carefully. Evam parampara praptam, thus handed down in succession. Thus handed down in succession means by people who had revealed it, but lot of people in between stuck to the words. People in between got stuck to the words and symbols and the picture of the Guru. In fact, even if original Krishna were to come, there is an excuse to go away. Picture seems to be more attractive. Because we do all sorts of decorations. Original Krishna will come in his own original way. But you have your own way of, you've been looking at Krishna as though this is Krishna. How do you know? Right? Like Shakespeare says, reputation is an idol, most false imposition, of God without merit, lost without deserving it. We have our own idea about the Mahatma. So we imagine all sorts of qualities on the Mahatma. It is said that this also I read in few books when somebody was talking about Swami Ramakrishna Mahamsa. It is said his language was very crude. So therefore many people didn't understand the depth of him. Really. But you have probably read few books about Swami Ramakrishna Mahamsa. So you will have your own ideas of Swami Ramakrishna Mahamsa. Supposing if Swami Ramakrishna Mahamsa were to come next to you, and let us assume that he was speaking those crude languages for you. And supposing he spoke to you like that, you will not know that he is Ramakrishna Mahamsa unless somebody tells you. Then you say, he who calls as Mahatma, forget it, you must also be some lunatic only. In fact, lot of people during his time thought he was lunatic. We have our own standard of measuring perfection. We have our own ideas. about how a perfect person will be. Because you heard this word, you know, very kind, very, all these are talking about the inner personality. So therefore, by long lapse of time, this has been lost here over Parantapa. The king sages knew this. Raja Rishi. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidhu. Raja Rishis knew this. What does Raja Rishis knew this mean? One interpretation is, the kings were sages those days. Kings were sages those days means, kings like King Jananda also had this knowledge revealed to them. Another thing we need to understand is, anybody who knows this is a Raja. Anybody who doesn't know this knowledge is not a Raja, truly speaking. Who is truly a king? One who is not at all dependent on any being or object is the king. Isn't it? So if you take that way, many kings are also dependent. Right? So if you will reach a stage where you are not at all dependent on anybody, any being, any object or anything, then you are a Rishi, then you are a Raja. So in that sense also it is Raja Rishi. Raja Rishis knew this. Raja Rishis knew this means from their own view, Vidhu, means from their own personal experience. Please remember this. Not that they have heard from somebody else. Not that they have attended some lectures. Therefore they know this. Just because we studied the first, second, third chapter, we can't say that we know the second and third chapter now. We may know it intellectually, but we may not know it truthfully. In essence. So he says, Raja Rishis knew this. This yoga knew this means they are also united their ego with the total. At the surface, they are playing the role of a king or a sage or whatever it is. But deep inside, they realize that they are ocean only. In fact, Lord Hanumanji is supposed to have told Lord Ram that when I look at you from my body, I am your servant. When I look at you from the level of my mind, I am your park. When I look at you from the level of my own self, you and me are same. Deha bhave dasosmi, jiva bhave tvadamshakaha, atma bhave tvameva aham. Deha, if my bhava is from deha, if I look at from my body point of view, I am thy servant. If I look at you from jiva, I am part of amshaka. If I look at you from atma, tvameva aham. So when you go deep inside, there is no difference between anybody, all same. The differences are all only at the surface level. This they knew. When he says knew, this means this they knew. So they never lost that yoga. In our case, it is not yoga for us yet. Therefore, we lose it. When we are in the class, we feel this and that. The moment we leave it, it's gone. Because it is not our own, it is borrowed. So here when he talks about yoga, he is talking about original knowledge. Original knowledge means, please understand this, another important thing. Any master who realized the self attained the knowledge originally. But when they say original, they don't mean that it is their work that they are giving. They don't keep knowledge behind it. They don't put themselves ahead and knowledge behind. They put knowledge ahead and put themselves behind. This was given then. In between, somebody else had given, I am also giving. Means he also said that, he also said that, I am also saying. It is not me saying something new, not original from that angle. It is original in the sense anybody who talks about it, they are talking about something original.
Their experience.
The origin. It is true with the origin. Concerns with the origin. In that sense it is original. Are you with me? So therefore, anybody who really experiences this knowledge originally, the sign of that is what? Vinaya. So they say in the Shastras, Vidya gives you Vinaya. Means knowledge will give you humility. Vinaya will give you qualification. Patra. Qualification will give you
what?
Wealth. Qualification will give you wealth.
Wealth.
Wealth is not just money, all wealth. What we need to gain is that knowledge. Once you gain the knowledge, wealth will come. But what we are gaining today is only wealth. If you gain knowledge, you become humble. When you are humble, you become qualified to gain wealth. Anybody who is humble gains the wealth. Wealth, as I said, not every wealth. Dhairya is one wealth. Fearlessness is also one wealth. Right? Material wealth is also wealth. All the wealth he gains. So therefore, vidya, knowledge, should always go with vinaya, humility. Even the Upanishads, the master says, iti shushruma purvesham henastha vyacha chakshire. In the Kera Upanishad, the guru says this. Andhya devata vidhitatato avidhitatati iti shushruma purvesham henastha vyacha chakshire. Thus have you heard from our great masters. Thus have you heard from our great masters means what? I am declaring it from my own experience, but this is not something that I am saying new. This was explained by my guru also before, after having experienced it by him. I am also experiencing it and saying it. So there is nothing new, that is not my work. I may be speaking in English, he might have spoken in Sanskrit. That's probably possible. That is probably possible. Right? Those days, that language was more prevalent. Now, that language is not there, this language. That's all. But, there is nothing original in the sense that I am giving. The moment I put I before knowledge, I don't know. And I put I behind knowledge, then I know. So here, when he says, they knew, means they had put themselves behind knowledge. So Raja Rishihi news. Others didn't know about it. What does it mean?
Did it experience?
Recently, in Padmanabha Swami Mandir in Trivandrum, they found so many expensive jewelries. Right? It has been there for long time. Nobody knew it. But they were all there only. Going and coming, going and coming, going and coming. They didn't know. Suddenly now they know, they woke up. Right? Similarly, those who have got the words, they have also got the wealth inside the words. But they don't know the truth that it is there. They are having it, but they don't know. In fact, many of our wisdom in this country is not known to us. Yoga, for example, when Americans were trying to patent it, then they suddenly wake up. The value of turmeric, which is used in our cooking daily, ginger, Kuntala, I read just recently, a few months ago, a newspaper, Kuntala, I believe, tried to patent it in UK or somewhere, but he lost it in the court case. Because he said, we've been using it for so many years, suddenly you know, then suddenly you wake up. Right? You have a medicine. You go to the root and see what is there in the medicine, it's finally all these herbs and things only. But if somebody spoke to you about it, you have no value. You already have it, but you do not know it. So Radha Rishi is new, it means he is Raja, he is Rishi, who not only has it, but knows what he has it. Many of us have the books with us, but we do not know the value of it. Suddenly when somebody else will come and is ready to give $10 million for that book, then you say, excuse me. In fact, that also many people would think, what's happening, $10 million for this? This must be some idiot. Give him and get it. Get that money. But truly, if you are a thinker, you will say, why is he suddenly coming and saying he is ready to give me $10 million? That means there must be something more worthy there.
I had attended a lecture by a lady who works for National Geographic, and she has done research in Hawaii. And she came up with this lovely thing that, you know, the amount of knowledge which is there in our parents, grandparents and the generation above should all be recorded, because it is a wealth of knowledge which we are losing with every generation.
Absolutely.
And we don't value it at all, because we always think, she's talking, it's old thoughts and doesn't make sense to us in the present day. But the amount of knowledge you can get from them, that's what she's doing, she's recording all the
Hamas. The interesting thing is, like I said, those who are communicating is also not knowing. What has happened is, without knowing, like in the running race, no? That, what is called that?
Relay.
Fellow is handing over
the baton.
The baton. To the other fellows. What is inside?
No one knows.
Traditionally, we've been mechanically following many things. Just memorize. Right? But each beach mantra, for example, has a tremendous potential. But we will be mechanically following, passing it on. But suddenly one fellow comes and says, what is that? There must be something deep in it. Then he finds it. So you are right, whosoever said that is absolutely right. Only one point I am adding here is, not necessary that those who are traditionally passing it on are passing it on with
knowledge.
Even the mechanical passing it on is stopping now.
No one wants to listen, huh? Because the elder generation talks is okay. Or your mind is gone from where else, like you say, we have selective listening.
So these are the two main issues. And each one, for us to really go deep and understand, takes so much time and effort, we are not interested in it. Like for example, cooking. Right. It should take that much time it normally takes to cook, then that food is healthy. But what we do today, in a hurry, everything is there in microwave and all these things, which happen, which the cooking happens fast, but it's very unhealthy. Isn't it? So, if you really want to go towards the best things in life, then that much of time and effort you should be ready to sacrifice for it. Otherwise, what you will have will always be a compromise. In anything it's like that. If you really want to know the truth of Bhagavad Gita, you have to really go deep into it. Otherwise, easy. Buy a few cassettes, put it on while cooking or driving. You understand? This is what we are doing in this fast pace. We say something is better than nothing. What to do? What to say that? Somehow this should continue. But really speaking, ideal way of doing it is you should go deep into each and every verse. Each verse, one verse is enough for you to go deeper into yourself. Each verse should help as a mirror. But the problem is we get lost in the words. So that is why he says, thus handed down in succession, the king sages knew this yoga by long lapse of time has been lost here, O Parantapa. So long lapse of time means what? The time has passed since the person who came, who dug deep and revealed. From that time till another person who comes. For example, Jesus came and then Muhammad came much later. Right? In between, time has passed. But when the time passed in between, how did it pass? Mechanically repeating the words, is that the time passed? That is what he is saying. Real thing. So time is passing by just the words. Very Guru is trying to tell you, don't get lost in words. We get lost in words. Then there comes another person in time who comes and reveals the knowledge and resurrects the knowledge for a while, and again what happens? We get lost in his words. If you really understand Jesus, if you really understand Prophet Muhammad, if you really understand Krishna, you will not have any problem. But if you are sticking to their words, then you will have problem. Nobody wants to use the words as an inspiration to go inside. We are really happy to get stuck with the words per se. So during long lapse of time it is lost. Long lapse of time it is lost means people have gone into some other business. No. People have been mechanically following these traditions. This is the problem. Chalo, 2-3 years ka course karo. Go and conduct class. Because you've got the words, you've got the interpretation tool, you've got the books, with the help of the books and the interpretation tool that you've got, simply go on interpreting. Then what happens is, the way I have studied, the way I am revealing is the truth. What you are studying is all wrong. So Bhagavad Gita, as it is, Bhagavad Gita, as it was, Bhagavad Gita as it should not be, you can go on writing many Bhagavad Gitas. It is a very big danger. Getting lost in words. So in Shakespeare's play, Hamlet was reading a book And Polonius, his minister, comes and asks, "What didst thou, my lord?" He says, "Words, words, words." He just says, "Words, words, words." This is what Krishna is also saying here. They are all lost in words in the meantime. Very rarely one person will come and go deep who is not satisfied in words. Because a lot of times what happens when you get stuck in words, you go around in words for many, 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 many days, then suddenly you realize these are all just words. Then you want to go deep. Then you reveal something to yourself and then you can reveal to the others. Words will take you for a chakkar. Believe me. This is the biggest danger, because at least before, you do not know Bhagavad Gita, you do not study Bhagavad Gita. So you say, "I have not studied Bhagavad Gita, I don't know anything about Bhagavad Gita." Now you have gone through a course on Bhagavad Gita. So now what do you think? You know Bhagavad Gita. And what will you be doing? Not to forget it, you are conducting class on Bhagavad Gita. Because by teaching, you will not forget it. You understand? You go on teaching Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Then you say, "Oh, what a wonderful way he explains, what a wonderful way she explains, he is, wow, wow." Then you start believing that you already know Bhagavad Gita. That you are Bhagavan. This is a big problem. Until one day you are hit nicely, like what happened to Arjuna in the first chapter. Krishna says in the 11th verse of chapter 2, if you remember, "Arjuna, you seem to be speaking words of wisdom. You seem to be speaking words of wisdom. Asochyam, angashochastvam, prajnyavadamscha vasase, gatasu, agatasu, na anushochanti panditaha." Wise people do not grieve for those who have gone, those who have come, yet you seem to be speaking words of wisdom, but grieving. So suddenly it will dawn on you, I don't know, but it will take a long time for you to realize. That long lapse of time is what he is talking about here. This long lapse of time has been, because of that, all this has been lost. Oh, parantata, oh, scorcher of force. So the enemies is what?
Words.
You can make them your friends. How?
By
going deep inside them. How? By questioning. Not accepting anything blindly. Understand? If you don't question, then your enemy, the words become enemies. If you question, then the words will help you to go inside. See, when we say Pitambara, what comes to your mind?
Yellow.
Pitambara means what comes to your mind?
Yellow.
Krishna. Krishna. Pitambara means Krishna. But Pita Ambara means what? Yellow cloth. The word is yellow cloth. But what comes to your mind is?
Krishna.
The idea in any communication using the words is something deeper. But the problem is when we get stuck with the words, the grammar construction. See, all these are helpful. I'm not ridiculing them. But getting stuck there, never move. Getting stuck in the grammatical constructions, getting stuck in the words, and then, you know, and that appeals to a lot of people, that traditionally the word should be explained only in this way. There are other traditions, another way. So this tradition and that tradition is fighting. They won't see eyes each other. Impossible. So therefore, you got to understand that words are trying to explain something that are inexplicable. Using the words, you have to go beyond. You understand? So imperishable yoga here means beyond words. Words are perishable, but the truth is imperishable. isn't it? So the idea is not to get stuck with words and personalities. Like they say, read not times, read eternities. But who is interested in eternities? Nobody. Right. Krishna was not teaching weekly classes on every Tuesday, every Wednesday. Right? He had the knowledge. Whenever anybody tapped it, it flew from him, from inside. So thus Haridam in succession. The king sages knew this. This yoga by long lapse of time has been lost here, O Parantapa. We'll see the next verse.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.